This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is Bloomberg Business Week. Insight from the reporters and editors who bring you America's most trusted business magazine. Plus, global business, finance, and tech news as it happens. Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Tim Stenebeck on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, we just talked about J.B. Hunt. Shares are lower in the after hours by about 3.4%. The company did report estimates for intermodal revenue, dedicated revenue, operating revenue. Should note that all came in below estimates. First quarter earnings per share also falling below estimates. We do love talking about trucking. And we love talking about logistics, Carol.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mentioned that yesterday when we talked about to Greg Hewitt over at DHL Express.
What's the real stuff? It's moving stuff around.
Exactly. We actually couldn't get enough yesterday. So back with us is Melissa Foreman, president at Triumph Pay. It's a payment platform that connects brokers, shippers, and carriers, a division of TBK Bank and part of the publicly traded Triumph Financial, which has about $1.8 billion market cap. Melissa joining us this afternoon from Dallas. Melissa, good to have you back with us. I do want to get to the news that you guys have in just a moment. But first, given what we just heard from J.B. Hunt, give us an update on your business. What are you seeing in terms of what trucks are going where right now?
Yeah, I think one, thank you for having us back. We're always happy to be here. But we're hearing and seeing the same things that everybody else is. It is a rough freight marketplace right now, and the recession is real. Wow. And it's just, you know, when you look at Q1, it was one of the softest ones we've seen. You know, some of the normal seasonality feels like it had come back and then dropped away again. So, you know, it's really hard to predict and project what's happening. It just, knowing that this recession has been lingering for as long as it has, I think we're in what, month 24, 25 of it. It's just rough on everybody.
When you say recession, are you talking about a trucking recession or economy-wide recession?
Freight recession.
Okay.
What does that mean? Is there just too much competition out there? I mean, that was some of the concerns going into the J.B. Hunt numbers.
Yeah, I think that what is happening right now is you just have a gluttony of capacity in the marketplace. And so with all of that capacity, these carriers trying to hold on and survive till 25, I think is the mantra. There's too much capacity in order to make the rates competitive and profitable for them to operate. So that's depressing the average invoice price, which makes it rough on everybody in the industry.
Is that just left over from the pandemic? Is that what this is about or what?
It's really hard to tell. You know, certainly at the peak of the pandemic, we had, you know, some of the best times in transportation. And then there was this leveling or reset of what is the new norm. And I don't think we figured out what that is yet.
Okay. So I was just going to ask the same thing that Carol just asked, which is, you know, is it just that we bought everything we needed during the pandemic? We don't need any more couches.
Yeah.
But it's hard to see that 2 years out
or
from
grills or
even
outdoor
3 years
or
out from
dog
the supply
toys.
Chain was, or is it, or, right. or has our spending shifted to services?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, we all certainly spent a lot of money on products during the pandemic because services weren't an option. And there was also, you know, some misbalances in inventories. And what I think we're hearing in the market more recently is some of the inventory restocking is starting to happen. So that is a good sign. But certainly services, I think, have taken a higher priority just, you know, as people have kind of gotten back out into the world. You were talking about business travel as an example earlier in your segment on how that's up, right? So travel, I think, across the board seems to be up. I know the planes are full when I'm on them, And so the services and experiences, I think, are still taking a higher precedence.
Melissa, what can you tell us about route differentials in the trucking industry? Because I do wonder if there are certain routes where they are getting the rates and certain where they're not. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I would say I'm not an expert on specific lanes or commodities, but I do know where carriers have the buying power and the density. They're able to still negotiate longer term contracts. And so, you know, that's certainly a place to focus and where you can garner the rates that make sense for you to be profitable.
So I want to talk a little bit cross-border because you guys have some news when it comes to what's going on in Mexico. And what's so interesting is Carol, we've talked about this quite a bit over the last few months.
From some interesting different players.
And, you know, I don't necessarily want to...
Not the usual suspects.
I think we can't... To a certain extent, we can call it nearshoring. Yeah. To a certain extent, we can call it, you know, a return to what happened during the 90s in the United States before we saw a lot of manufacturing move to China and other parts of
Asia
as well.
When NAFTA was a big thing.
When NAFTA was a big thing.
Not the other one.
Exactly. And I want, so Melissa, tell us exactly what's going on when it comes to what's happening with cross-border right now.
Yeah, I think as you mentioned, like we're seeing a lot more manufacturing go back to Mexico. And as you said, it was there back in the times of NAFTA. I remember that very well, and a lot, all of the business that was going across the border. And we're there again, and there's so much opportunity to be able to help support transportation specifically in that space. We have, you know, carriers that are our clients and brokers that are our clients that are, have set up shop on both sides of the border and just trying to take advantage and leverage the efficiencies that brings them and the you know, efficiency gains in cost and in time.
Go ahead.
I say to do that, though, you have to also be able to make payments to those carriers in preferably the currency that they prefer. And it's really hard right now. There's not a lot of density in being able to do Mexican peso payments to small carriers in the space. And so we saw this as an opportunity to, one, support and kind of get ahead of where the growth is going for cross-border operations, but also to meet our customers where they need us to, and that's to be able to pay their carriers in the currencies they prefer. With the dollar softening a little as compared to pesos, more and more carriers have been asking our clients to be paid in Mexican peso, and they didn't have the opportunity to do that before, so it was, you know, causing some capacity issues for them and carrier relationship issues. So we wanted to bring that to market.
Carol, you might remember the big take that we did back in September, all about how Mexico has passed China to become the largest U.S. trading partner.
Wow.
Happened back in 2023.
Pretty wild, right?
It's pretty wild. Wow. Well, which raises the question, Melissa, why is this something that you were only able to do just now? You know, if there has been so much going to Mexico, why weren't you able to do this years ago?
Yeah, it's complex, and we've been building out our payments network for the last several years and expanding into multiple currencies. You know, we started with, you know, the U.S. dollar, moved into Canadian dollars as our clients asked for that. Now we're getting asked for Mexican pesos. But the regulatory and compliance components of what goes into that is pretty complex. And so we started this effort, you know, at the beginning of last year, and it takes time to get it done and to do it well. And so that's why we're launching when we are. It's just the effort that goes into it. We anticipate being able to move and releasing European and Asian payments towards the later part of this year as well.
How much has this business picked up since you guys have started?
You know, we are not executing payments yet in pesos. So we expect to have the ability to support that for our customers by the end of Q2, so the end of this quarter. And then work with them and their integrations with their TMSs and accounting systems to turn it live. So we haven't, but when we're talking to our clients, what we're hearing from them is about, on average, 5% of their business is now being done in Mexico, and they're having to turn business away because they don't have a good payment option. And so our hope is that, and our expectation is that as we launch these new capabilities, it's gonna give our customers the competitive advantage to be able to move into those markets more deeply.
Are these truckers, these drivers, making the same kind of money that other drivers are making?
I don't have an answer to that.
I'm just curious. I'm curious if it
changed. I don't know, yeah.
Sorry.
I'm not sure.
We love picking your brain because you do know so much about this industry. So
that,
forgive me.
That's a good one. I haven't thought about that with averages.
Well, once the platform goes up, like, you're probably going to have a lot more information. But it is fascinating because I am curious about the level of activity and the dynamics of that market in particular. So really interesting stuff. Promise you'll come back once the platform's up and running and we can kind of dig a little bit more into what you guys are seeing. Always appreciate it. Such a timely interview. We're telling our producer this is the perfect interview to have after we were talking about J.B. Hunt, and just to get your perspective on what you see. It's great.
Also, I just want to say shout out to Melissa Forman's tech team or whoever set up the shot. Melissa herself, she's got a microphone on. It looks like she's in a studio. It's like perfectly lit. I mean, it's like, would take like 3 or 4 people to do a shot like that.
Can you train everybody who comes on our air?
Yeah, please. Fantastic.
We're just wondering. Melissa Forman, be well. Talk soon. President of TriumphPay in Dallas.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.